wolf on the hill is never as hungry as the wolf climbing.
Lone wolf is a term commonly used by many people. It means that they used to belong to a group, but left, to become stronger. By thinking and acting alone, the lone wolf acquires superior cunning, agility, imagination and skills unknown to members of the pack. The lone wolf is independent of and distances itself from the petty bickerings, expectations, demands, mediocrities and unfulfilled dreams of other people, groups or organizations. The lone wolf is often branded as the rebel.
For it is the sovereign lone wolf who stands alone in all of his or her glory. You are listening to Lone Wolf Radio, presented and hosted by Tom Metzger. Tom is now broadcasting from a newly relocated and improved bunker in an undisclosed location with internet access across the globe. So sit back, relax, and enjoy another episode on Lone Wolf Radio.
And to assist individually in the struggle, you could send your donations, cash, check, or money order to Tom Metzger, 1281 North State Street, Suite A, Box 114, San Jacinto, SanJacinto, California, 92583, and we'll put it to good work for you. And it's Thor's Day, the 18th of May. And we're ready to go. And don't forget to get your donations in for the show. It's we'd like to get them all in by now, or by the 25th or something like that. Anyhow, get your donations in here, and that'll make us very happy. And I'll go to Las Vegas and have a ball. I couldn't even pay for the gas to get to Las Vegas with them. Money, I take it. I tell you, 400 people a day died on the highways in India. Yeah, and that's not counting the ones that fall off the tops of the buses and the trains. No, it doesn't. And the ones that get run over by the sacred cows they worship. And incidentally, I'll bet you didn't know, since they can't kill those cows in India, what the hell happens to them? Well, they ship them out for all us heathen to eat. Yeah, they ship them abroad to butcher up and put them in our hamburgers. Probably McDonald's hamburgers has got holy cow in it, man. Well, the chaos in Washington's moving right along, just like we planned. It's wonderful, isn't it? Yeah, well, most of the right-wing conservatives are crying all the time. We don't cry all the time. We have a good time. Every time they have a blow-up in Washington, we have a good time, whether it's left, right, or in the middle. We don't care, just as long as it's chaos, man. You know, I get these emails from Hillsdale College up in Michigan. It's an old long-time conservative style, whatever that is. Uh, college, and they keep talking about free enterprise and liberty and freedom and the Constitution all the time. I always answer them when they send me some kind of a promotion. Today I said, unfortunately, the Constitution is not applicable to the white race anymore. It only benefits, for the most part, non-whites. To depend on a piece of paper to defend your freedom and liberty is foolhardy. It takes blood and muscle to protect that. And unfortunately, the white race has come up short and is suffering the consequences by depending on democratic sham games to protect their freedom. And they've dwindled in a way into military occupations, squandering billions, trillions, and killing millions around the world. Also destabilizing the other races so they flee and invade primarily white homelands. No amount of electioneering is going to stop, and only brute force will stop it. That's what I told Hillsdale College. Places like Hillsdale College just say a lot of things that make conservative types feel good. They want to feel good, but it don't change anything. Things keep getting worse and worse and worse for the white race. But they'll say, no, we're not racist. Why not us? We just wrap ourselves in the useless Constitution. That's going to protect us. Right. Well, here's my black KKK report from Chicago from yesterday. 4 killed, murdered, 12 wounded in Chicago shootings on Wednesday. Well, black KKK, you're really doing the job. And the most recent murder, homicide, 26-year-old man was gunned down shortly after 8 p.m. in the Fernwood neighborhood on the far south side. He was in the 10,200 block of South State Street when someone got out of a vehicle and shot him multiple times. The man was taken to Christ Medical Center in Oak Lawn, where he was pronounced dead, according to the Chicago police. The Cook County Medical Examiner's Office has not released any information on the fatality. Well, I think they've said enough, haven't they? Earlier Wednesday afternoon, 17-year-old Rashad Wells was shot and killed by an off-duty Cook County Sheriff's deputy during a suspected robbery at a salon on the South Side Inglewood neighborhood. Two people tried to rob the salon at 1:39 p.m. in the first block of West 69th Street. The female Cook County Sheriff's deputy discharged her weapon. Wells, who lived a few blocks away, was struck and pronounced dead at the scene. Police and the medical examiner's office said, and other robber escaped. It was not immediately known if he was wounded. The sheriff's deputy was not wounded. Yeah. He just murdered that black boy, and we got to take that boy to court and put that cop in jail. Probably was another black cop. That's the best of all possible worlds. At 2:44 a.m., 35-year-old Tashika Manuel Dunbar was fatally shot in the Longwood Manor neighborhood on the south side. She was sitting in a vehicle in the 9700 block of South Morgan when another vehicle approached and someone inside fired shots. Authorities said Manuel Dunbar of the West Suburban Forest Park suffered gunshot wounds to the arm and torso and was taken to Roseland Community Hospital, where she was pronounced dead at 4:15 a.m. In a separate Inglewood neighborhood incident, 22-year-old James D. King was found about 12:35 lying in the street with a gunshot wound to the chest in the 6600 block of South Carpenter, authorities said. King, a near West Side resident, was taken to Christ Medical Center, where Christ didn't do him much good because he was pronounced dead when he got there. Boy, I'm telling you, Chicago is the new Wild West. The day's latest non-fatal shooting happened shortly before 11 p.m. in the Chesham neighborhood of the South Side. Two men, ages 24 and 30, were standing on the sidewalk in the 7900 block of South Lafayette when gunfire erupted. Police say it. The younger man was shot in the right foot and was taken to St. Bernard Hospital. The older man was taken to Stroger Hospital with gunshot wounds to the left arm and the left side. Well, it goes on and on and on detailing these misses. Some of these black KKK people are not good shots. They try to hold the gun like they do in the movies, sideways, and they miss them. They miss the main arteries and so forth. They hit them in the foot and hit them in the ass, hit them in the hand and hit them in the arm, but they don't kill them. As they have reported over the past few months on the national level, sales of guns have been on the decrease. Many have seen this explanation for this in the election of the White Father Donald Trump, who has struck a conciliatory stance towards gun owners. Like they couldn't figure it out themselves. Yet in Chicago, the demand for legal firearms continues to increase. Well, and they're glad to sell them to them, too. This goes against the national trend, but also that in surrounded areas, the appetite for guns in Illinois is also down since the election. Gun sales peaked during the Obama administration, with many fearing that the administration's stance on firearms would lead to their Second Amendment rights being curtailed. Each time the president announced he was going to look into banning assault-style weapons, for instance, sales of these same weapons shot up. And he's probably got stock in the goddamn companies. In this context, many gun shop owners have said that Obama was their best salesman. Sure. Just think of how many guns Martin Luther King caused to be sold. Many have seen their profits decrease since the election, and their fears that the current glut of stock could lead to many small gun store owners going out of business. Well, there you got it. Yeah, if you promote gun ownership and sales, then the killing goes down. Yet one category of gun ownership has remained unaffected by those trends, concealed carry. Ooh. Illinois was the last state to allow concealed carry, eventually granting licenses for it in 2013. And since then, the number of applicants for these has grown steadily, man. In Chicago itself, courts ruled that the citywide ban on handgun sales was illegal in 2013, because it was hurting the profits of the weapons manufacturers. Yeah. Since then, the number of firearms owners identification applications has doubled from 19,600 in 2014 to 39,000 last year. This comes against the background of a surging number of shootings. It seems the citizens of Chicago are now involved in something of an arms race. Whoa! Concealed carry advocates point out that since the practice has been legalized across the country, it has not generally led to more shootings or accidents. In addition, they point out many armed crimes are committed with illegal firearms, and responsible gun owners, that's Republicans, would not be blamed for the actions of a few criminals, or should not be. Well, as crime has spiked in Chicago, it seemed that more and more these people are seeing the advantages of a concealed carry license. Many feel that carrying a concealed handgun is the only way to protect themselves against criminals. Well, unless you could carry a bazooka under your raincoat. The city remains unusual in regards to firearms. Though handgun sales have been legal since 2013, the city itself still has no gun stores. These are concentrated in the suburbs where the conservatives make all the money. One of the blacks ought to get wise and start buying gun shops. And the recent surge of interest in acquiring firearms is leading to a similar expansion in the number and the size of these gun stores. Don't you think it's a little bit of a racket, boys and girls? You know, most of the people I've never known would never pull the trigger. They'll brag about their guns and they'll show people their guns and all that kind of stuff. But if it comes down to it, they'll never pull the trigger. For my part, I think the link made between increased crime and increased gun ownership is something of a fallacy, he says. As some in Chicago have pointed out, many people are simply taking advantage of the new right to carry a concealed firearm, not buying weaponry to defend themselves. No, they're buying concealed weapons to kill people. Kill other Negroes. Yeah, the black KKK rides again. And this points to a bigger issue, that in a lot of the reporting of gun rights issues, gun ownership is implied to be inherently linked to gun crime. Here at Gun News Daily, we don't think that's the case. Mm-hmm. Six of one, half a dozen the other. People are going to have guns no matter what. If they don't, well, there's nothing I can do for them. But also, if they do bad things with guns and get out of control, the courts are going to get them. So you better make damn sure you're right. You know what I say about these big shots in high places. Footage of Vladimir Putin playing the piano prior to his meeting with Chinese President Xi Jinping has recently been making its way across the internet. He sits down, haltingly taps out a couple of sentimental Russian tunes, smirks at the camera, and then we're off. Boy, they hate that Putin. The American liberals hate him as bad as Trump. Yeah. Now, the bastards over at Huffington Post, if there were any traitors to the country, I would say they're at the Huffington Post. The Russian leader isn't shy about displaying himself as a macho Renaissance man. Yeah, these progressives seem to have a problem with male males, you know, males that act male. Also participating in judo, ice hockey, and horseback riding. The latter be sometimes shirtless. Oh my God, more manliness. Can't have that. While an article from Time magazine tells us that this is not the first time the Russian leader has flaunted his musical skills. Boy, these liberal progressives are something else. They're just absolutely unbelievable. Nothing, if they don't like somebody, anything, just anything they do, they turn it into something bad. Putin performed Fats Domino's Blueberry Hill at a charity concert in 2010. Oh, that's wonderful, Putin. Which was attended by actors Sharon Stone, Kevin Costner, and Gerard Depardieu. Well, I wouldn't walk across the street for any of those people. Kevin Costner especially. Sharon Stone, we know her. We know what she is. Putin is indeed quite the Renaissance man. In between hobnobbing with Kevin Costner and Sharon Stone, which I can't imagine why he would, he manages to cavort with perhaps more niche celebrity types like Bashar al-Assad and Ramzan Kadyrov, even though he spends time participating in judo and performing Blueberry Hill, he's still somehow able to find time to commit war crimes in Chechnya. Syria, similar to Bush Jr. and Clinton and Mohammed, the old black president who's gone now, Obama. You better start cleaning up their war crimes before you start accusing Putin of war crimes. All while murdering journalists and dissenters both in Russia and abroad. Well, all world leaders kill people or have them killed. That's it. That's all there is. I mean, if you expect to have a world leader that in his presidency or kingship or dictatorship doesn't kill people, you're out of your goddamn mind. There is something wrong, indeed, something disgusting, unforgivable even, with abstracting a dictator from his crimes. They don't like authoritarian leadership. They want democratic leadership. Yeah. Well, all the common denominators vote and put in these bastards. With publishing the mildly cutesy takes about a childish piano performance. Now, if that was a progressive that was giving the piano performance or playing Fats Domino, they'd say, oh, what a wonderful race-mixing son of a bitch he is. We love that man. With mentioning Putin's performance in a charity concert without also noting that he is a moral monster on the par with his cohorts Assad and Kadyrov. Those progressives are funny as hell. Unfortunately, they're dangerous and should be ultimately dealt with if the white race is to last. These short articles are unforgivable because they offer us a moment's reprieve, a moment to snicker. One can already imagine the U.S. magazine, dictators, they're just like us, column. No, they're not just like us. A moment to forget, because unless we forget, there is no reprieve and there's no snickering. Here is what we omit when we type 200 words on a piano performance by a dictator. When we gently mock his machismo, not gently, you severely attack his manhood. Here is what we must forget. We must forget that at this moment, Chechenian forces under the control of Putin, stooge Ramzan Kadyrov, were arresting, torturing, and in some cases killing gay men. There, that's where this article is going, and arresting those who might come to their aid. That reminds me, I went out for a while, had a couple of drinks, and me and my lady, and I sang some karaoke songs. But there was one white boy that I know is mixed up with a Filipino woman that's so ugly I can't believe. But he was going to sing a Cole Porter song. And of course, Cole Porter was born in Peru, Indiana, about 50 miles from where I used to live. And he said, well, we all know that Cole Porter was homosexual. And then he said, but his music was wonderful. So when I got up to sing, I said, you know, one thing I always practiced, I don't call anybody a queer unless they have evidence that somebody has slept with them. If you have slept with Cole Porter, then you have the right to tell about what you believe him to be, homosexual. If you haven't slept with him, you don't have no right to impugn his manhood or whatever, you know. And I don't know whether Cole Porter was homosexual or not, but I used the word queer several times. They woke up, all these white people in the place. They hadn't heard queer since George Lincoln Rockwell. Yeah, man, a lot of them really liked it. You know, in the right wing, the way they put down people, different groups, if they're mad at them, they say, oh, he's homosexual. He's queer. They have absolutely no proof that the guy is or he isn't, so they throw that around to demean people. And my son John and I used to say, when they say a guy's a homosexual and you have no proof of it, if you haven't slept with him, how do you know he's a homosexual? And I thought homosexual was okay, you know. I personally don't go out of my way to attack homosexuals. I mean, you know, reasonably acting people, I don't see any reason, because it serves no purpose. We have bigger fish to fry. Do I approve of it? Well, personally, I don't, for myself or my family, but that's the way that goes. What the hell do these people know about how many people, homosexuals, Putin may have killed or not? We must forget the Syrian military with both material and diplomatic support for the Putin regime. They like those kind of words. Has murdered hundreds of thousands of civilians in bombing and gas attacks. Nowhere near what the U.S. State Department and the Pentagon have killed. Are you kidding? We must forget the images of naked, mangled, emaciated corpses strewn across the floor of the Syrian torture compounds. Boy, these guys have a way of words. Their gray anatomy evoking, yes, Hitler's concentration camp. I knew that would come up in the article. I knew it when I started. Putin now would jump to Hitler. We must forget that Assad has learned more than just brutality from the regimes of the past, and that, as has just been reported, the Assad regime has started to use crematorium in Sadat Nadia prison facility in order to destroy the evidence of its crimes and to keep pace with the facility, at least 50 executions a day. You see where this is going. Assad is cremating people, killing them and cremating them. Oh, who did that? Did somebody else do that? Oh, Hitler, yeah. We must forget that Putin rose to power after committing war crimes in Chechnya during the Second Chechen War, in which 50,000 civilians were murdered. Well, I look at that as a racial war. It was white Russians against the non-white Chechens. And I can't condemn that. I'm sorry, Chechens. I have no personal thing against you, except when you attack and bomb white people in Moscow, you must be dealt with, and dealt with severely. And so Putin did that, and that's good. Sometimes things get a little out of hand, but there you go. We must forget that this war was started on the pretext of the 1999 Russian apartment bombings, in which 1,200 people were either killed or wounded, bombings that were likely perpetrated on the orders of Putin himself. Oh boy, this is one sick puppy. This progressive that wrote this shit is one sick puppy. We must forget that Putin has invaded both Ukraine and Georgia, supporting various violent insurgencies in both countries, and continues to threaten the sovereignty and safety of the Baltic states. Well, how about you guys deposing, getting rid of the guy, the leader in Ukraine, who was democratically elected? The United States was in on all that bullshit. We must forget the Putin regime has been responsible for the murder of journalists and dissenters such as Alexander Litvinenko, Boris Nemtsov, and Anastasia Barbarova. Well, that could be true. But it could not be true either. And sometimes in a more autocratic leadership in a country, you have to take care of things. And it's better to get rid of one or two people than to get rid of millions, like the Pentagon does, like they did in Vietnam, millions, and plus 50,000 of our people, wasted for no reason at all except to make money. The military-industrial complex and the weapons manufacturers and intel factories and so forth. We must forget the infamous Soviet Gulag prisons in which prisoners, political and otherwise, were tortured and kept degraded and in terrible conditions continue to exist in Putin's post-Soviet Russia as well. I don't think you can prove that. Solzhenitsyn told us all about it. But that phase is over. I'm sure there are some excesses. There's always excesses. Power creates excesses, no matter who's got the power. They use the power. Now, there is nothing wrong with mocking murderous dictators. Well, if it's true, if they've done something to a reason to be mocked, riding a horse or not wearing a shirt is not a reason. Playing a piano and playing fast domino, well, that's maybe a little bit of a reason. Humor can be a weapon, and it can be a defense against despair, but if we choose to laugh, it is of utmost importance that we remember exactly who we're laughing at. Whoa. And that's what the Jews have to say. That was written by a Jew. Oh, did you get a look at that new ambassador from the United States to Israel? He's an Orthodox Jew. I saw him kissing the Western Wall on TV. You know, all those Jews kissing that wall, they're passing diseases around, I think. I don't see them wash. They never wash that wall. And everybody's kissing it. Wow, man. Oh, guess what? I saw Marvin Heyer, Rabbi Marvin Heyer, that rat-faced son of a bitch from the L.A. Simon Wiesenthal Center, standing right by the Great White Father the other day. Did you see that? 90% of the white people didn't even notice. You couldn't really miss him. He's got a rat face. And so there, your Great White Father image is going down the fucking tube if you're a white separatist, a white racist, or a white supremacist like me. You got to wait for another sucker crumb to come along, and you could waste your vote on him, you know, and think you're being democratic and all that kind of crap. If you're voting, you're an idiot. What do we mean when we say never again? These days we do mean anything at all. Do we mean anything at all? Perhaps when the phrase was coined in 1961 by filmmaker Erwin Leeser in his Holocaust documentary, quote, Mein Kampf, unquote, we might have been able to salvage some semblance of a stance from the words. We had yet to experience the moral degradations of Bosnia, Rwanda, Halijaba, and Cambodia. God, there's too many. But now, in 2017, 71, 72 years after the events of the H word, the case seems to be close on what we mean by never again. What we mean is precisely this: nothing. It's lost its meaning totally. Do a quick search of any crime against humanity perpetrated since 1961, followed by the words never again, and you will see the same refrain repeat ad infinitum. Is this the time that we really mean it? Do we mean it this time? The answer inevitably, indefensibly, is always no. The very nature of the phrase itself suggests forward-looking mentality. The again implies that there will be future occasions which will necessitate the phrase's use. But it also lays out a call to action that has thus far remained unheeded. In use, however, the phrase is not a rallying cry to take proactive measures against crimes against humanity, but a reactionary slogan, never again, is only spoken after the irrevocable never has already taken place. Wow. The news broke earlier this week that Aleppo had finally fallen after they'd killed hundreds of thousands of people, maybe a million. It was almost palpable sense of guilt-ridden relief in the various announcements. It was as if the world, which, thanks to social media, had watched the events unfold with unprecedented visual access, was finally able to let out a noxious exhilaration. At least we no longer have to watch. The destruction of Aleppo is over simply because there is nothing left to destroy. We killed most of the people, destroyed all the buildings. There is no Aleppo. We're going to have to build another Aleppo 2, and we'll see if we can blow that to shit. The suffering of its people, however, is far from over. 1,000 remain trapped in freezing temperatures without food, shelter, or medical supplies while awaiting evacuation. Our suffering of Aleppo's destruction has also come to an end, and even though the executions and torture and displacements and bombings continue in Syria, I wonder if after this proactive, protracted ordeal observed by many with thinly veiled apathy, the world will will be able to muster even one iota of moral strength required to care. Aleppo was the cause du jour, but when Assad comes knocking at Idlib, to which the last remaining residents of Aleppo are being slowly, perhaps too slowly, evacuated, and it is only a matter of time will we invent new hashtags, bring out the old slogans, only briefly retired, or will we just watch silently, ashamed, finally, of our own pathetic importance? Yeah, speaking of shame, there's plenty to go around. I've seen a video circulating on the internet recently in which American U.S. Ambassador Samantha Powers asked Syrian, Iranian, and Russian U.N. delegations, "Are you truly incapable of shame? Is there literally nothing that can shame you?" It's an obvious question with an even more obvious answer. They're not ashamed of anything. These people in power in the West or the East or anywhere, they're not ashamed. They're selling millions and millions of dollars worth of military equipment. Many millions of dollars for one fighter plane. The first one we gave to Israel, the F-35, which is obsolete already. It's an obvious question with an even more obvious answer. But what is striking about Ms. Powers' scathing speech, it's hypocrisy. Powers' Pulitzer Prize-winning book, quote, "A Problem from Hell, America and the Age of Genocide," lays out her case for intervention in the face of crimes against humanity. She castigates the world's leaders for indifference to mass suffering and asks in the book's conclusion, why does the United States stand so idly by? Well, for money, of course. The military arms business. If we weren't selling weapons, I don't think we got much else to sell. The question presents itself now, as it doubtless will again, as an appointee of an administration that watched Russia and perpetrate the worst crimes against humanity that I have seen in my short life. Ms. Powers might ask herself why she sits so idly by, why she continues to serve and whether along with Russia, Syria, and Iran, if there is nothing that might shame her or this country. Personally, I think this is a pretty good article. Let's add this recent New York Times editorial to the litany of shame. After detailing the atrocities of Aleppo, nodding to Donald Trump's disgusting admiration for Putin, well, somebody's got to admire somebody. I think Putin admires Trump. I don't admire any of them. Offering an insipid defense of Obama's flaccid, fleckless non-response to Russian and Syrian atrocities and informing us that the violence has continued despite another failed ceasefire. The New York Times gives us this baffling line, quote, "When will it stop?" Well, you advocated these wars of occupation, New York Times. Bullshit, you were right in there on bombing and screwing up Iraq and killing their leader. That's up to Mr. Assad, Mr. Putin, and Iran. Well, and the United States, stupid. If it's up to them, the actual perpetrators of this horror, then the answer is clear. It will stop when there is no one left to kill. Because they love to kill. And the general file voters in this country like the killing. They do. Don't give me that bullshit. They love it. Remember that senator from Arizona? I don't even want to speak his name. He's such a rat. When he said, bomb, 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 bomb Iran. Well, anybody advocates bombing anybody is a war criminal. And crazy. The lunacy of this statement is akin to saying in 43, Hitler stopped the Holocaust is up to you. The perpetrators have a vested interest in carrying their violence through to fruition. The onus is one those countries with claims to moral superiority to make it stop. Wow! Perhaps the most upsetting about the emptiness of never again, which we might more accurately write as never again, is the way that has been sloganized crimes against humanity or people. I'd rather say crimes against people. Humanity sort of, I don't know, doesn't ring much of a bell with me. The way that it allows us to view people at its worst and offer ourselves verbal pat on the back. The way it has never turned events that ought to provoke a deep, meaningful discussion of existential horror into a two-word tagline, never again. Make a great copy, genocide does not. Well, you keep giving them weapons. You sell them weapons. You load these niggers in Africa with weapons. All these places, it's weaponry. Now, you have the government of the United States, Russia, and so forth has the power to stop it. But you're not going to stop it. You never will stop it because you're making too much money off of it. So enough of our never again, our save defer, our apple poise burning. They mean nothing in the face of our inaction, though this is surely not the last time we will see it fit to trot them out. But when the next time comes, and it will come, you know, now it's North Korea. Remember in disgrace when duty's all too human face came crying at our feet, we merely shrugged and sighed, never again. Yeah, that's a pretty good anti-war article. I support that. Well, 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 Trump's Jewish attorney, Cohen. Yes, it's squeaky that President Trump's attorney is tweeting boastfully about his lingerie-clad daughter. But let us step back and ask why it's squeaky. Is it the seeming disregard where the incest taboo is concerned? If not, act. And let me be clear, there's zero reason to think any actual acts are at stake. Then in terms of etiquette or polite conversation, for insights, check out the following passage from Catlin Flanagan's brilliant written new profile of Ivanka, or rather analysis of Ivankaism, where Flanagan addresses the head-on, quote, sexual charge that seems to exist between Donald and his daughter, the one that has been freaking all of us out for a decade plus. Donald Trump is a man incapable of euphemism, which is what our national obsession with family romance demands. We are a country of father-daughter dances and a growing trend of daddy-daughter date night. Ivanka's 5-year-old daughter recently enjoyed a date with Dad at the Nationals game per her mother's Instagram account, and the expectation that father of the bride will turn in a performance based on the gentle melancholy of losing his best girl, all of this involves deeply sublimated emotions, but Donald Trump is incapable of repression, so we are treated to his discussing Ivanka's breasts with Howard Stern and telling the host that it's okay to call his daughter a piece of ass. Flanagan later offers this less than assuring sentence that, quote, the president doesn't see his daughter in only sexual terms, of course. Of course. Well, obviously the incest taboo angle is a lot of what's squicky here, but I'm not sure if it's the main issue because, again, I don't think there's any widespread concern that actual incest is taking place. I think it's at least as much about men's differing expectation for daughters go out in the world and be brilliant than wives stay in and produce sandwich. More broadly, it reminds the society's great hopes of young girls and corresponding indifference or even hostility to success of grown women. The hot daughter meme is creepy both for self-evident reason and for the less scandalous but still important one, our society's inability to celebrate women who aren't, in addition to whichever other qualities they may possess, young and gorgeous. I leave you with the Crazy Ex-Girlfriend song that was stuck in my head unavoidably while writing this post. There you go. That's an interesting concept. Anything's possible with people in power, with a lot of power. They get away with a lot of stuff. And they always did, and they always will. Michael Cohen, Trump's Jewish attorney, putting his daughter out there as a sex symbol. Have you counted how many Jews are around Trump? I mean, it's unbelievable. And then when I saw Marvin Heyer standing beside him, I almost puked in my porridge. There got to be other people in power that see through all this bullshit and hate it just as much as we do, maybe for a different reason. Well, there's a new movie out called The Wizard of Lies about Bernie Madoff. I don't know whether you've seen it. There's a major surprise in The Wizard of Lies, Barry Levinson's film about Bernie Madoff scandal, which premieres on May 20th on HBO and is based upon the reporting of Diana B. Hendricks. It's possible to feel a modicum of sympathy for a despicable human being. The film stars Robert De Niro as Bernie and Michelle Pfeiffer as Ruth. Both offer not only outstanding, believable performances, but also closely resemble their real-life counterparts. Hendricks plays herself and recreates the jailhouse interviews she conducted with Bernie. Quote, early on when we were filming, Hendricks told me how similar Bob is to Bernie. Levinson told me, she says, I have to tell you that there are moments that are scary to me. It was literally like I was there again. Yeah. Hero is particularly chilling in his portrayal of a sociopath with no moral compass, and Pfeiffer as a brilliant as a woman torn between her sons, their families who turn their backs on Bernie. The film is replete with anti-Semitic, anti-Jew threats and curses. I ask if Levinson had any qualms about making a film about a widely vilified Jewish thief. No, said Levinson. Look, it's a story of a man's greed. So I think it's a story worth telling. If you start making assumptions of how this will be perceived, you will basically stifle yourself. This isn't a story about the Jewish race. It's a story about an individual. That's the way you have to look at it. It's not his Jewish upbringing that has nothing to do with it being that causes this to take place. I think the best thing we can do in the work that you're involved in is to tell the story. Period. I think if you're suddenly going to walk away from it because you think it's not beneficial to Jews, then you are censoring yourself in ways you don't understand, unquote. Levinson, who did the Rain Man, Bugsy, and Diner, has mined his Jewish heritage before and described his Baltimore upbringing in Liberty Heights and Avalon, the latter of which told the story of how his grandfather came to America with only a dollar bill in his pocket. No, he had probably a million in his pocket. Like the Warburgs. He said he came to here a poor, poor immigrant, and he had a suitcase full of money. Quote, but you know what happens, Levinson said. Let's take Avalon. I remember reading that it's not really Jewish enough. And thinking, gee, that was as close as I can possibly make it to the world I grew up in. So you can never ultimately satisfy everyone. It's not Jewish enough, or it's too Jewish. You don't hear that about Christians. It's not too Protestant. It's not too Protestant enough. that doesn't apply, and I can't figure it out.
I went in. I am talking about giving you $100 million.
That's not going to do it.
150.
Love to help you, but I can't.
175.
I wish I could. I'm just thinking of it.
No, 275. $300 million. How far do we got to go?
If you go above 4, we might have something.
I can do that.
There's a little black spot on the sun.
How was Wall Street, Bubba?
Wall Street is good.
Dad says things are bad at Wall Street.
You're an 8-year-old and you shouldn't be asking me questions like that. I don't feel like talking about
Dad.
Wall Street. I'm here having dinner
That's
with
enough.
My family.
Bernie, what's wrong with you?
It's a fraud. Basically just a big Ponzi scheme.
What's a Ponzi scheme?
What are we going to do?
50 million?
50 billion with a B.
Mom, do you understand what he's done?
It's the same.
I'm tired of being hated. You got yourself into trouble. You couldn't get out. Why does the world hate me? They all think I'm some kind of a mastermind.
Take it as a compliment, Ruth.
You were never suspicious of your father?
If you're asking me how I didn't know, you're the FBI. How did you not know?
Sir! I don't understand!
No, you don't understand. You don't have to understand.
What'd you do with the money?
Hey!
I thought you were gonna protect me forever.
Hello?
Have you no shame?
Mr. Madoff, please stand.
How do you now plead to count one?
Guilty.
He discarded me like roadkill.
How do you plead to count two?
Guilty.
He took our entire life savings.
Count three.
Guilty.
Dad, how could you do this?
Count four.
Guilty.
Count five.
Guilty.
Have you no shame?
Guilty. Guilty.
For 16 years, I kept this secret from my wife, my sons. I was able to do that and maintain any degree of sanity. That worries me when I think about it.
But it's my destiny to be the king of pain.
I think this is going to be a great movie, and I think all you Jew haters, I'm telling you, all you critiques out there, you people, political critiquists, should go see it or watch it on television, HBO, man, because a guy like Bernie Madoff causes more heartbreak and destruction of people, all races, than most. And so when they say Jews don't never cause a Holocaust or H word, they do financially. These Jews financially create H words, you know. People are affected all over the world by their chicanery. So go watch this on television. If you're a real anti-Semite, you'll watch this movie. Incidentally, that was a trailer from the movie I just played for you. Just apologize to the black race that I didn't beat them up in this show. I've been laying off them a little too much. No, I'm laying on other people a lot more. Yeah, so tomorrow I'll go back to beating up the blacks. I really love to beat up on white criminals and psychopaths and traitors to their race. Those are the ones I really want to beat up. Jews are going to do what they do. They've been doing it forever. And the blacks are going to do what they do. They've been doing it forever. But these whites that have become rats and psychopaths and criminals against their own race and their own economy and their own country and their own constitution, they are the real enemy of our race. The really worst of the worst. They need to be dealt with.
Them flying saucers, or some of them black helicopters flying down low and over my backyard recently. See them foreign troops in ninja suits leaving imprints of their combat boots in the meadow down near the neighbor next to me. For they're building concentration camps from the rate hike off our postage stamps to protect and defend their great democracy. Though my vote in the last election didn't quite match the same projection. Maybe those beautiful talking heads on my TV. And when I called them to complain, and I asked them to explain, they just said that it proves that you're not in the groove of the new majority. Yeah, sure. Well, just between you and me, can't you feel the conspiracy? Can't you sense the hypocrisy, as they call it, democracy? Well, it's a threat to your sanity, and not to mention your liberty. And it's all an evil, filthy, rotten conspiracy. Now they've got microwaves and laser beams and rays to look inside your dreams and satellites that can see your DVDs. They got chips that fit inside your head that'll make you think their thoughts instead. Drugs that'll make you do just as they please. And to make things even more serious, they got strains of new bacteria that are surely to cause some unknown new disease. And that's why we got fear and high anxiety and paranoid perplexity and the gradual loss of all our liberties. And as they try to bring us all down, they might leave us with a frown. They might even be the source of all the rumors in this town. Well, just between you and me, can't you feel the conspiracy? Can't you sense the hypocrisy, as they call it, democracy? Well, it's a threat to your sanity, and not to mention your liberty. If it's all an evil, filthy, rotten conspiracy. Incoming phone calls to the Central Intelligence Agency. We'll just hope and pray someday they'll see that you and me are not the enemy, nor do we believe in cult theology. And as our police try to bust us, we'll keep trying to find some justice, though it's hidden behind a wall of masonry. We'll keep working out our salvation with the feeling of fear and trembling, hoping and praying someday the truth might set us all free. Now just cause the media won't respond don't mean there's nothing going on. And brother, what'll you do if there's something to all the words inside this song? Well, you can say that I'm wild-eyed, that all my fears are unjustified, or that I'm totally mystified by a man who's crucified. But just between you and me, what hung him up on that tree? It was all an evil, filthy, rotten conspiracy. It's all an evil, filthy, rotten conspiracy. Believe me.